Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. This is The Takeaway. I'm WNYC's Sean Carlson in for Tanzina Vega. Tomorrow, of course, is January 1st, which for many immigrants to the U.S. is more than just the start of a new year. Thousands of people who resettle here are assigned a New Year's birthday by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. And that's because at the time of their arrival, they don't have access to their birth certificates. In countries like Syria, Libya, and Yemen, recent unrest has pushed people out on a moment's notice, giving them no time to collect their documents. And in others, like Iraq and Afghanistan, war has ravaged the country for decades, with infrastructure issues damaging birth records or making them impossible to access. This is something Abed Ayoub knows well. He's the National Legal and Policy Director at American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee in Washington, D.C. Abed, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for having me with you today.
So can you tell us why January 1st is the date? Is it just a coincidence or is it a bureaucratic reason for choosing the first day of the year?
The decision to put the January date is one made by the immigration officer. So if an individual is going through the refugee process or is entering the U.S. in other ways, they don't have their official birth date. Oftentimes what was done in the past was they would put January 1st in the year they were born. This is not a new phenomenon. In fact, it's something that many within at least within the Arab community, are very familiar with, and something many of our ancestors and relatives who first came to the U.S. faced, you know, upon their arrival. So this is something we've been seeing for, as I said, for decades now.
Where did it get its start? If you say it's been happening for decades, what was the genesis?
The start most likely began at Ellis Island, when individuals would come here initially in the, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and they didn't know their exact birth date, but they knew the year. They would just put down January 1st in the year. The reason we're seeing now is that simply they were destroyed. If you look at Syria and what's happening in the civil war out there and the violence in different provinces, the government buildings were destroyed, the records were destroyed, so they're simply not available. If you look at Iraq, what happened in Iraq the past two decades, records were destroyed. The main reason we're seeing now is violence and is destruction, physical destruction of the records. A lot of these records were not backed up to servers. A lot of them were handwritten or kept in drawers or kept as you imagine they would be 20 or 30 years ago. So it's a matter of just being physically destroyed.
Can you walk us through how this works legally speaking? You know, if someone gets to the U.S. and they have to establish a new birthday, how does that work from a legal perspective?
Well, from a legal perspective, it just depends how they're entering and what status they're trying to obtain. So each case is going to be different. There are ways to piece together, and albeit it is more difficult without a birth certificate or an official birthday, but there are ways to piece together one's identity if that information is missing. And it is hard, it is difficult, and very tedious, but it can be done. But when you do have that birth certificate, things are easier. You're able to come in here, show who you are, and prove your identity. But you know, without those documentations, things are harder for an already stressed situation.
Yeah, and you mentioned the birthday is just the first step right here. So how does one build a legal identity without paperwork, without official documentation?
It's very difficult. You have to, again, go back to each country may have a different set of registrations. It could go down to each village how we can get registrations. So it is like an investigative process on trying to put things together, whether it be affidavits from family members, affidavits from the religious leaders, something to prove this individual is who he or she says they are.
And how does it affect the naturalization process? If you're coming in and trying to come into the country and stay here, does this choosing of January 1st change that all or make it more difficult?
Most of the challenges faced when you don't have your birth certificate or birth dates happen at the beginning. So once they overcome that hurdle the first time and prove their identity, whether it be through obtaining different documents or through affidavits, as we mentioned, once you establish your identity that first time and you are given that birth date, things should be okay as you move along the process. So if somebody came here in the 80s and they were given that January 1st birth date and they've gone their whole life and then now they decide to apply for citizenship, they should have no problem. What's important to keep in mind here is beyond just the birthday. This signifies an issue that we have to look deeper into. For many of these individuals, especially now that are facing this problem, the January birthday reflects a lot on the issues they're facing back home. When you look at that January birthday, you have to look at it a little deeper. They're given this January 1st birthday most likely because they fled a war zone or humanitarian crisis. This is reflective of the challenges these individuals are already facing. So every day they look at that birthday that they've been given is a reminder to them that, you know, my homeland is under attack or my homeland is going through difficult times or a civil war or something that is preventing them from going back, or something that's even preventing them from proving who they are and having something as basic as a birth certificate. So as humorous as some may find it, that, oh, your birthday is January 1st, or I have, you know, 200 Facebook friends with a January 1st birth date, as humorous as that may sound, there is a seriousness to it. And the seriousness is, these individuals are coming from a land that's going through difficult times. They're coming from a country that's already, again, it's maybe under a natural disaster, man-made disaster, civil war, violence, and they have to deal with even more pressures and more stresses on trying to prove that they're a human, on trying to prove that they're alive.
Does having January 1st as a birthday, or not having the paperwork to have a birthday in terms of civil society at all, does it affect people's access to humanitarian services or rights?
Absolutely. Not having a birth certificate will prevent you from obtaining travel documents you need, whether it be in Europe or across the Middle East or even here in the U.S., could prevent you from obtaining the health care that you need. Not having a birthday is very problematic and will lead to more difficulties as they try to move on with their lives day by day.
And what have people told you about what it means for their identities? That's obviously a more esoteric question, but for their sense of self. I think we take it for granted that our birthday means so much to us and says so much about us. You know, I'm a Gemini, you know. What do people tell you about January 1st or other dates in terms of how they see themselves?
For a lot of the individuals that have the January 1st birth date that are recent immigrants and recent arrivals in the U.S., it's a reminder of what they've left behind back home. It's a reminder of the challenges they face at home. It's a reminder of what their homeland is going through. And that's difficult for many of them, to know that everything has been destroyed, even the documents proving your existence have been destroyed. So it's very difficult for them. For a lot of other individuals that came here, you know, in 1950s and after that we know, they just see it as a reflection of the way things were done back home, that, you know, we didn't have a registrar in the village. We didn't have accurate record keeping. That's just the way it is. That's just how it was in parts of Lebanon or Syria or Jordan. And it's accepted that that's how things are. So there's a lot of different takes on the birthday, and it's very reflective of the diversity in the we have in that part of the world and the way things are done.
Can you share a story about someone maybe in your own life that's changed their birthdays when they arrived to the U.S.?
Well, the most common story we have are individuals that came here you know, with the wave, the immigrant wave in the 50s and 60s, coming here for jobs at Ford in my hometown of Dearborn. And the most common story you hear is my parents didn't have a birth certificate and January 1 is my birthday. Those are the individuals I know. That sounds like a bland story, but this is the most common story. This is what we hear a lot of. And a lot of them are, you know, citizens now, a lot of them have their own children now, and they celebrate their birthday on January 1st as you would on any other day of the year.
Abed Ayoub is the National Legal and Policy Director at American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee in Washington, D.C. Abed, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.